Hey everybody, it's Notes from the Underground, episode 5. Today what I want to do is something a little bit different, and I want to just tell you a story about a bus trip I took recently. One of these interstate bus trips that takes a couple of hours, a couple of long hours, and you're riding with people you don't quite know. Most of the bus, strangers. I had a couple of friends with me. We were taking this trip together. Anyway, we were on the bus when we got caught in the middle of a really bad storm. Just bad, rough winds. Very wet storm, as they say. Now, we were told from the front that this was simply kind of a normal disturbance. Storm usually hits this leg of the trip. He'd done the trip numberless times. The bus driver had, so he knew what he was talking about. And it's just a disturbance. It's not the final destination, and it's just something that happens on the way to the final destination. Now, something strange happened on the way through the storm. I kid you not, a number of passengers got up and started talking about what they were going to do during this storm. And they decided that it would be best if they would tell the rest of the bus. They were passengers just like the rest of us, but they thought they would be able to tell best what to do and what not to do. And they were kind of prattling on and on about different things on the bus, the conditions inside the bus, the conditions outside of the bus, the direction of the storm, the trajectory of the bus route, the stops we had missed, all this stuff. It was kind of funny to hear and to listen to, because what they didn't admit in any part of their talking was that they didn't really know anything about the storm relative to the complexity of the storm. And truth be told, relative to the bus driver who had seen this storm 1,000 times. And yet they were talking so authoritatively about the storm. And of course, the other little detail they didn't mention was that they had not paid the fare for the bus. They were riding free, just like the rest of us, because the fare that they paid upon entry of the bus had been given to them by the bus company. It was a gift, and we were all riding on this bus for free with borrowed capital. So the proverbial backseat driver really showed up in spades, and the arrogance was quite evident in the middle of the storm. Now, no longer wanting to be simply passengers who ride out a storm with common sense and their wit, some would say, they started offering really wild and extreme solutions. I kid you not. During the storm, on this however many hour long trip we were on, these are the sorts of things this elite group of passengers were offering as solutions for what they considered to be a problem. The first thing they wanted to do was to lock down each passenger to his or her seat so that they wouldn't be able to move. And yet, they wanted to keep everyone distant enough from one another. How they managed to do this, I, to this day, don't know. But they did. They even had access to the PA system of the bus driver. Again, don't know how that happened. And yet, having been given access, perhaps, or having taken access, they started lecturing even the folks who were standing up and stretching during this interstate bus trip to take their place on the floor if they didn't want to take a place on the seats or sit down on one of the chairs, on one of the seats. So we had folks sitting on the floor, and they proceeded to tell us every now and then about their thoughts about the storm. They lectured us, and they even wowed some of the passengers, but they really confused the rest of us. And the question, of course, was how could we remain at the requisite distance from one another when we were so close to one another? That's the first thing they did. The second thing was pretty astonishing as well. They wanted to take money from all of us so that they could give to anyone who wanted to get off the bus at the first opportunity to take another bus. Now, that was weird, and that wasn't going to work because none of us wanted to be physically coerced to give up money to someone else. And the other reason, more to the point, was that everyone on the bus knew that this was the only bus going to the final destination. There was no other bus. That didn't matter. What happened was that, again, unbeknownst to us, this elite group of passengers had everyone's wallets already. And they proceeded to take some of our money. And they didn't end up giving money to everyone. They actually ended up giving us all a little bit of spare change. And they kept the big bills for themselves because, according to them, they had earned it because of their enterprising services protecting us and guiding us. Well, so much for that. They also went on not only to take our money, but to categorize every activity in the bus as either essential or non-essential. And this was weird because we thought, who had given them prerogative? Who told them? Who said that they could do that, right? To classify something as necessary or not necessary. And yet they did. Basic things like work, some kinds of work, were deemed non-essential just because. Things like gathering together to remember the resurrection of Christ. It's what some of us wanted to do. We were told it's non-essential. Can't do it. Now, on the flip side, when we considered what was essential, all right, things got weird because what was essential was drinking. That you could do that, certainly. Now, to me, drinking on a bus during a storm when you need your wits about you doesn't seem like a good idea. Smoking pot, you could do that. That was essential. You could even do abominable things like threaten the lives of the youngest children on the bus. Under no circumstance is that ever essential. And yet it was permitted. It was allowed. So the bottom line is that the sorts of activities that were allowed were the ones that resemble the things you can do in a prison cell. You can get medicated, you can be entertained with Netflix, you can engage in all sorts of, and all forms of hedonism, including that with your own body. Now, whatever activities, essential activities, we were engaged in, we had to do it with, if we were going to be around people, which of course it was inevitable that we would be around people, we had to do all of that with our faces covered. We were told, try to find something, try to find a mask in your purse or in your back pocket or in your book bag to cover your face with. And I'm thinking, who carries a mask? Who walks around with a mask to cover their face? This isn't Halloween. Yet that's what was needed to be done. Find a rag, find a piece of clothing, and sure enough, everyone had to cover their face. You know, the net result of that was that we couldn't understand each other at all. Human language and our communication was reduced to a muffled sound. Our voices were muted. I mean, you try to talk with your face covered and you're going to sound like you're speaking gibberish, or you're going to have to scream in order to be understood. And that's what happened. We thought, yeah, we better scream if we're going to be understood. And we ended up sounding angry. Or if we didn't want to speak, all of our communication was reduced to shrugs, nods, winks, head shaking, eyebrow raising. So bodily emoji. Human communication had suffered severely during this bus trip. And then, if this weren't bad enough, there was something else that happened. All of life was reduced to the anxiety and the panic of a few. Turns out that when we hit the storm, we didn't realize this, but one of the windows was open. And because of that, some passengers got wet on the bus, and all of us did the best we could to help them and to help them dry up, move them to a warmer part of the bus so they could be dry. And what the elite passengers did was unhelpful at all, because they proceeded to treat everyone as potentially wet. They were either wet or potentially wet, and all windows were potentially open. And we just thought, well, no, that's not true. That's insane. The windows are closed and not all of us are wet. Some of us are actually dry. And yet that wasn't the case. That wasn't good enough for them. It actually turns out, again, mysteriously, because this is one of the wildest bus rides I've ever been on. And I've been on a whole bunch my life. Turns out that during the course of the bus ride, windows that had been closed shut mysteriously became unlatched, and many more people became wet. And yet, the same people who were calling for everyone to remain in their seats, attached to their place on the bus, were the same people who were free to move about. They were walking around wherever on the bus. They were the same people who were actually occupying the best and warmest seats that could have helped others. And they were the people who refused to give up their seats for the sake of the well-being of others who were being threatened because of the prolonged lockdown policies. I'm going to mention one last thing. It's a wild bus ride. The anointed group of passengers kept repeating over and over again the same statement. It was almost like a religious mantra. They kept saying, life will never be the same again. Life will never be the same again. And they said it with that kind of dazed, empty look on their face. It's almost like they were trying to convince themselves that it was true. And what seemed self-evident to them was hardly evident to us at all. When we got to talking with one of them, we actually had to poke him a little bit because he was like really in a daze. Turns out that this elite group of passengers wanted to keep the extraordinary measures that had been implemented during the storm. They wanted to keep those measures in place even after we had passed the storm. This is crazy talk. Anyway, you can imagine that none of these things went over well with the passengers on the bus, and there actually became there formed two groups of passengers on the bus, and it's not hard to see how and why. There weren't any fights as far as I can tell, but there were some pretty heated exchanges. The one group was called the authoritarians because they had believed their whole lives that you have to submit to governing authorities no matter what, and you can't ask questions, you can't buck authority, you can't rebel. This is what they had come to value. This is one of their biggest values in life, and now was their time to shine so that they would submit to every loudmouth in the middle of this crisis. Now, the second group, they were called the libertarians, and they were, as far as it seemed to many of us, they were on the opposite side of the authoritarians, because the libertarians, well, they exalted not authority, they exalted liberty. Specifically, they exalted the individual over the bus, over the bus company, over the obligations of passengers. And to them, the founding charter of the bus company gave them untethered freedom. If you can do it on the bus, you should do it on the bus. Whatever it is. Now, what we didn't know is that These two groups were actually working in tandem with one another. Behind the scenes, unbeknownst to us, they had been plotting to take over the bus. And yet, the one thing that was overlooked by them, both of them, both groups, was what the bus driver thought should be done and what the company policy was during a storm like this. Well, near the end of the storm, we didn't know the end of the storm was coming, but it was here. The bus driver stood up, slowly arising from his seat, and with one hand lifted, he looked at the storm clouds and completely calmed the storm so that immediately everything was gone. There was no more storm. There was no more cloud. There was no more rain. There was no more wind. It had all died down. And then the bus driver looked at us, each of us, and many of us, right there and then, we immediately knew that there was something different about this bus driver. He was not like any other bus driver. And had we known what we now know about this bus driver, it would have changed completely the way we viewed this entire trip, and it would have changed the way we had acted during this trip. That's my story about a recent bus trip. And during that bus trip, we had a really bad storm.